Hey guys, welcome to the Posey Sports Performance Podcast with your host, Jonathan Posey. Today, I'm talking about something that's near and dear to my heart, baseball. Those of you who follow me, follow my podcast, all my other socials, you know I am a baseball fanatic at heart, and I work with primarily baseball players in my gym. Before I start, what I'm going to talk about with baseball today, I'm going to tell you guys a story. A story that's seen in a lot in pitchers all over the world, no matter what level you're at. And it's the life of a pitcher, okay? They say there's always two constants in life, death and taxes. When you talk about pitchers, there's actually three constants. Throwing, shagging, and running. Those of you who've ever pitched in your life know exactly what I'm talking about. The only thing pitchers ever do at practice is they pitch, they shag BP, they might do some PFPs, and then they go run. Usually this running that they do constitutes of what's something that's called a pole. Those of you who have pitched know exactly what a pole is. You run from one foul pole to the other and then back. That's a pole. These poles have been in baseball as long as I can remember. And my rant today is about the pole. It is the dumbest thing I have ever seen get into a sport or a game. I'm very passionate about it. I'll tone it down for you guys. The reason it's so stupid, and that's just the word I'm going to use for it, is stupid, for two reasons. A, there's no research show that actually works, and the reasoning behind what coaches tell the guys is BS. Okay? I'm going to start off with the looking back, or what the coach says to tell you why you're doing this. Most coaches tell you you're doing this to flush lactic acid out of your muscles. That is the biggest load of horse crap that anybody could tell you. The coach is telling you that because they read it from some BS baseball article who heard it from some person somewhere along the line that said, oh, lactic acid gets in your muscles after you throw or after you exercise. They're not wrong, but the only problem is most of these pitchers are doing running after they throw, right? Or the day after. The thing is about lactic acid, it's a transient chemical or transient thing, meaning it's temporary. When you feel lactic acid, the only times you ever feel lactic acid is when you're doing sled pushes, hill sprints, even doing a bicep curl, and you do a ton of reps successfully without a lot of rest. And you feel that burning sensation inside of your muscles. That is the only time lactic acid ever becomes a factor in exercise. Short duration, high intensity type thing, or not moderate duration, high intensity work, aka a hill sprint, aka a sled push, or just doing an AMRAP of some exercise. That's the only time lactic acid becomes a limiting factor. And lactic acid, eventually that feeling goes away. Studies have shown that lactic acid is out of your body within 30 minutes. That's part one. So please explain that to me. How can lactic acid be getting flushed out during these long distance runs or pulls when it's out of my system, whether I do anything or not in 30 minutes? Exactly. Crickets. It doesn't make sense. Lactic acid doesn't stay in our body for more than an hour. Like tops is an hour. Usually it's about 30 minutes according to the research. Okay. So that's reason one why I hate these stupid runs. The lactic acid. There's another side of the lactic acid I'm going to talk about right now. They say that you go run to flush out lactic acid out of your arm. Think about that. You're running using your legs to flush lactic acid out of your arm? How does that make sense? That makes zero sense. Sure, you'll pump your arms a little bit while you're running, but if you've ever seen a pole get done, very often the hands are sitting out here, a couple T-Rexes, running, jogging. Okay? Any of you have ever seen a pole? So how exactly is lactic acid getting flushed out when I'm doing distance runs and using my legs? Yeah, no idea. BS part number two. BS part number three goes with the training side of things. Me as a strength coach, everything I look at, everything I do in regards to sports training, I look at through the lens of what are the demands of the sport. Every sport's going to have a different demand. Football, you need bigger and stronger and faster. Soccer, not as big, but you need to be faster and quicker on your feet. Volleyball, you'd be able to produce a whole lot of vertical force in order to jump up over the net and hit the ball. Okay? Baseball, you don't necessarily need the mass. It helps, but you don't necessarily need a lot of vertical power. You don't necessarily need a whole lot of horizontal power, research is really showing. Okay? What we need a lot of is transverse power, okay? And just power in general. Okay? What power is the ability to manifest your strength in a speedy manner, okay? Meaning producing as much force as we can in as little time as possible. Any of you who have ever seen a pitch thrown, it takes about a quarter of a second for the pitch to get from the pitcher's hand to home plate. Okay? That's a powerful movement, right? My job as a strength coach is to train these guys to be good at their sport, meaning I need to tailor the training to the demands of their sport. So now we've established that pitching is an explosive movement because it takes a quarter of a second from to get the ball to the pitcher to the glove to the pitcher's hand to the catcher's glove. But we're doing long distance running that takes a long time, and the justification is that, oh, it strengthens your legs, it makes you last throughout an entire game. Last time I checked, pitchers aren't running around the field in between pitches. They throw the ball, they're explosive about it, the catcher catches it, throws it back to the pitcher, and they go behind the mound to get ready for their next pitch. Where in that scenario does it take a long... Why would you need endurance training to help out with that? I get that somebody may be throwing 9 innings, 8 innings, 7 innings, 100 pitches, but the same issue arises. You're not doing constant work those entire 7 innings or the 100 pitches. I think the pitch thing will be more applicable to this. You're not doing something constantly for those 100 pitches. You exert yourself maximally for about a half a second. You relax. You watch what happens. You might run to cover to back up a bag or to cover a bag at first base or cover home plate if you need to. But that's a very small portion of the game. What are you going to do 90% of the time? You're going to catch the ball from the catcher, go back behind the mound or go back on top of the mound, get ready for the next pitch. You know what that sounds a whole lot more like? Sprinting to me. What happens when you do a 10-15 yard sprint? You exert yourself for a short period of time, in that situation, 3 to 4 seconds, and then you're done. Holy crap. You train to the demands of the sport. Why in the world am I having my pitchers go run 18 poles after they throw 7 innings when I'd much rather have them go freaking run 20, 15-yard repeat sprints with minimal breaks in between. Simulate the sport as much as we can. We don't want to get too specific in sports training because we don't want to mess up their mechanics that their pitching coach and hitting coach have worked on or their fielding coach have worked on. But we need to try to get the training as similar to the game situation as possible. So BS number 3, your legs need to last longer to last an entire game. That's why we run long distance. It doesn't make any sense because you get breaks in between each pitch. A quick pull will be 30 to 45 seconds. And that's like if you're humming. Normally a pull is going to take a minute. I cannot tell you a single pitch ever in the history of freaking baseball, a pitch, you throwing the ball to home plate that took more than a second. So how that there's a disconnect there, guys. It doesn't make sense for you to go run pulls afterwards. Okay? With all that being said, strike 1, strike 2, strike 3, my BS meter on this running pulls thing. If it helps a pitcher or a player mentally relax before or after a start, by all means, please go do it. I know pitchers are head cases. A lot of them have issues mentally. That's why guys who are extremely and supremely talented on the mound, throw 90, have awesome breaking stuff, struggle to get out because they get the yips or they get inside their own head. If you need to go run long distance before or after a start to go clear your head, please, pitchers, by all means, please go do that. Well, you're no use to us if your head is somewhere else, okay? But don't tell me that running these long distance flush runs and pulls is helping a pitcher last longer in a game or throw harder. It's bull crap, guys. More and more research is going to come out and throw this old science out of the building, throw this old science out of the game. I cannot wait for the day that I can sit down and watch a practice from a team and never see a pull run again, because it's the biggest waste of time in a pitcher's regimen and a practice for a pitcher. Sorry for my rant today, guys. Actually, no, I'm not freaking sorry. I'm glad I can educate you guys on this stuff, because a lot of people, the reason they do that is because they don't know. Thank you all so much for watching this video. If this helps you, give it a thumbs up, give it a like. If it didn't, comment back. Don't give me a dislike. Give me a comment back and we can have a dialogue about it. All right? Have a great day, guys. Talk to y'all later. This is Jonathan Posey for the Posey Sports Performance Podcast. See ya.